Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you, Randy, for coming and talking to us. Randy Fischel wrote a book called An Anxious Kind of Mind, and you can go to the website, ananxiouskindofmind.com. It's all spelled out. And we are talking about an anxious kind of mind.
And Rose, I should thank you right at the beginning. You have not done any anxious jokes with me on this. I hear that all the time. Oh, I'm anxiously awaiting for the release of your next book. Thank you so much for not doing that.
Well, that's kind of cute. I didn't really think of it. But anyway, an anxious kind of mind. We, in a previous show, we talked about your first symptoms. When you first began to realize that, hey, you know, I want to count this, but can I count this? I want to read it, but can I read it? Will I understand every word? Am I honest enough? Am I good enough? And you began to, in reflecting back about the age of two, you began to, I mean, about the second grade.
Second, third grade.
Mm-hmm. And teachers too, you know, I look at some of my students who are perfectionists.
Yeah.
They're just, everything has to be perfect. Perfectionism has to play into this to some degree.
Well, perfectionism, there are two different terms. Perfection and perfectionism are two different things. And I talk about this actually in chapter 4 of my book, An Anxious Kind of Mind. Perfectionism is a disorder and is something that many of us are familiar with. We like to do a good job. As a magazine editor, I was particular about where commas went and where columns lined up and everything. And you see that in your students, undoubtedly. Perfection, that's perfection. Perfectionism, however, is when you simply overdo all of that and it becomes debilitating for some individuals. Mm-hmm. Now, perfection in a biblical sense, just to talk theology here just for a second, perfection, of course, is something that we all strive for. We want to become Christ-like. I do not abide by this whole idea that we need to be perfect to be saved and all that stuff. But certainly we are called to become Christ-like. Okay to use the term perfection in that context. But when that quest becomes all-consuming, as it can for many individuals, then you have taken a very beautiful thing and spun it off into something that is going to reap much more damage than rewards.
Yes. Now, did anyone else in your family have this disorder as you think of your history?
And this gets a little bit into the genetic component, something that I learned not all that long ago. As I mentioned, my father passed away a couple of years ago, but a few years before that, he confided, not too long before my father died, he confided in me that his father had actually been institutionalized for something, and to this day, I don't know what. My dad took that knowledge to the grave. We'll talk about it on Resurrection Morning, I guess. But when my dad told me that, I began to put some pieces together. And I have seen some family traits that I think have been handed down to me. We're all given a package of traits. Earlier today, I was watching some of Tom Brady's great football moments with the New England Patriots. And I was thinking to myself, he couldn't have learned all that. He must have inherited something. I don't know whether that's true or not of Tom Brady, but I do know that we all come with certain gifts and certain shortcomings. And in the case of an anxiety disorder, I'm absolutely convinced that there's a lot of genetics involved in this mm-hmm. whole thing.
Yes, and now that we know that, you know, experiences from our ancestors are passed on to our DNA. You know, all of that wasn't known back then. It just seemed like things happened in a vacuum, but they don't.
Yeah, I don't ascribe to the whole hunter-gatherer caveman thing and all that, and I know you don't either. But the fact of the matter is, for someone who believes in the Christian context, as I do, we've got a lot of sin on our plates, and we've inherited a lot of biological and environmental and just a whole bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it good, a whole lot of it bad, and that's just something we have to address. Keep in mind when we're addressing this whole thing of anxiety disorders.
So as you headed into adolescence, we've talked quite a bit about, you know, when you first recognized that maybe you weren't the average person. And then when you went into adolescence, that's such a delicate age. That's where most aberrant behavior, most addictions blow up. Children naturally in their teens feel lower in their self-esteem.
Yes.
It's just part of it. So how did you navigate that?
Yeah, through misbehavior. I say that seriously.
Wow.
I chose misbehavior and what I call distraction techniques. And I just found a lot of opportunities to cause trouble. I mentioned this in a book. I ended up hanging out with the wrong people in a couple of different cases. Got arrested once, and it's just one of those things. When I look back at it, I think, well, I could have gone a different direction, but you know, the direction I would have gone would have probably been into substance abuse. As we talked earlier about self-medication, we're going to find ways to cope.
Yes.
And so my way to cope was through humor. I became a class clown, misbehavior, the whole package that comes with that. And it seemed to work off and on, got me through adolescence, through high school. I continued using the humor to some degree into college. And I should say that I never thought I would even have a high school degree because I was so distracted and busy doing other things with my life that I was at one point not in high school during my high school years. Somehow, and this again is a whole different story we won't go into, but somehow I ended up getting not only a high school degree, but a college degree of all things, and then a master's degree. And to think that any of that could happen, given my background and propensity for the inability to stay focused, shall we say, is nothing short of a miracle, it seems to me.
Yes. So do you think sometimes the children who are diagnosed as ADD might actually be OCD or...
Well, I can tell you one thing, that a lot of killed... Yeah, that may be true. But I will also say this, Rose, that a lot of kids who are diagnosed with ADHD and OCD and some of these other things, they may have some challenges. But a lot of them that I've met also have exceptional gifts.
Mm-hmm.
When I think about some of the research that I've looked into, you know, and this gets us into the area of how many people, we talked a little bit earlier about how many people are afflicted with these kinds of things. You may not realize how many geniuses and really exceptionally bright thinkers.
Yeah.
And not only intellectually, but people, for example, let me just say this. Some of the more popular, well-known figures that battle these things. I was just, within the last 2 days, I made brief contact with a gentleman named Andy Weir. Andy is the author of a New York Times bestseller book called The Martian. That became a movie in 2015 starring Matt Damon and the whole thing. Well, I didn't realize this, but he told us in an interview, this is why I contacted him. I wanted him to see if he could do a blog post for me. He actually was on a CBS morning show just this recently, within the last week or so. And the only way he could get there was, and he said this, told us in the interview, he said, the only way I could get here was because I was on my anxiety medication. Well, here's a guy, this guy on Amazon. I checked this out. You know, you go to Amazon and you see these reviews, and you're lucky if you get 10, 20, 30, maybe somebody will get 500, whatever. He has 32,000 reviews on his book. This guy's exceptional.
Yeah.
He also battles anxiety disorders.
Mm-hmm.
David Beckham, soccer star. He's battles OCD. Cameron Diaz. I mean, you can go on. Individuals that you would have no clue have this kind of challenge, have overcome it. I don't know how, and maybe in some cases it hasn't been the best choices. I really don't know. But certainly, again, I want to make it very clear that regardless of your challenge, if it's OCD, if it's panic disorder, if it's agoraphobia, all of these things in today's society have a solution. So do not give up hope.
In fact, I know there is probably someone, you know, tears streaming down their face as they're listening to this.
Well, let me just interrupt you right there. When I was almost at the worst of my agoraphobia, and agoraphobia is the inability to travel a safe distance away from what you call your safe person or safe place. I was down to 3 blocks. I was not housebound. Now, a lot of agoraphobics are housebound. I couldn't drive more than about 3 blocks away from home at night. One night, and this was during my graduate school years, I was out jogging. And that was one of the ways I had to beat back anxiety, because I had, for whatever reason, I had just resisted medication and all that. I was going to beat this thing on my own, I told myself. I was out jogging, trying to work off enough anxiety to get a good night's sleep. You may or may not remember what a Walkman is. A Walkman is the precursor to our digital devices, the MP3.
Yeah, I remember.
Okay, so I'm sorry you remember too. Well, I was out there, and that little unit had an FM radio in it. As I was running along with the headphones in my ears, I was listening to a program called Focus on the Family with Dr. James Dobson. He had a guest on there that began to talk about the symptoms of panic and agoraphobia. Now, at that point, I had no idea that there was anybody else in the world who was going through what I was going through. And so to jog along, and all of a sudden, you know, I had to stop, and I began to listen, wait a minute, and all of a sudden these things began to click. And I realized, okay, this thing actually has a name. You would not believe what that can do when you realize not only that you're not alone, but it actually has a name. So you're absolutely right that somebody out there right now is probably fighting back tears, realizing that, hey, I'm not alone after all.
Yes. I'm talking with Randy Fischel about his book, An Anxious Kind of Mind. You can go to his website to learn more, anxiouskindofmind.com. And we have to take a break right here, and I want to spend the rest of the show just quickly unpacking, maybe leaving little cliffhangers for our listeners. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Marty Michaels, and this is Heartbeat. As Jesus Christ taught us to pray in what we know as the Lord's Prayer, he invokes God's hand at work here and now. His words, "Your kingdom come," says that God can, in fact, bring his peace right here to earth, just as it is in heaven. Let's not get tripped up by the idea that God's kingdom is something that's waiting for us in the future. God's word tells us that the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is alive in us. We can experience God's kingdom power right now. And it all begins when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Heartbeat is brought to you by the Salvation Army.
Welcome back. I'm talking to Randy Fischel about An Anxious Kind of Mind and his journey through an anxiety disorder. Thank you so much for spending this time with us and sharing what you've experienced and what you've learned with our listeners. And I promised that we would just like briefly unpack your book. So I thought I would say some of the chapter titles, and then you could just, I don't know, say whatever comes to your mind that you know about that.
I'll tease it out a little bit.
Yeah, so we'll start with Panic on the South Side.
That was the first. Well, this is not going to be a cliffhanger, but I'll tell you what happened there. The That was my first full-blown panic attack.
Okay.
And that was, Dan Ryan is a freeway in Chicago, downtown Chicago. And being trapped in traffic during rush hour in the middle of Chicago, if some of the listeners may understand what claustrophobia is, you just feel like, man, I can't take this. That's kind of what agoraphobia can be if your trigger happens to be being trapped in a situation where you can't get out. That's one of the worst is an expressway. I ended up in an emergency room, just like many of your listeners have. I can guarantee you right now that many listeners out there have been in the emergency room with the symptoms that I had that day so long ago.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with you is what the doctor will tell you. It's all in your head. Well, it was, but not quite the way they thought it was.
Or, you know, they test you to see if you had a heart attack usually.
That's exactly right. Yeah, heart attack, brain tumor, whatever, you know, and there's nothing wrong with you and good luck.
Okay, over and over.
Over and over. I talked a little bit about counting my steps, and happens with OCD. Mm-hmm. You can just kind of not stop doing certain things, and that in itself presents a certain sense of panic.
Yes.
That, what if I can't stop?
Yeah, it can create a spiral.
Yeah, spiral, right.
Steps in the wrong direction.
Well, once again, when I was going through this initial period of anxiety disorders, I was making choices that were taking me in a direction that was not particularly helpful. As I mentioned, misbehavior, doing things to keep my mind off of the anxiety, relationships that were not the healthiest. There were just a lot of things that I involved myself in that, looking back, I realize, maybe it kept me out of the anxiety dumpster to some degree, but there were some choices that I could have made differently that would have taken me in a more positive direction.
Heavenly dysfunction.
Heavenly dysfunction is the most sensitive chapter in the book, and it involves how an improper picture of and processing of God can breed extreme anxiety dysfunction.
Yes. We all probably have that to some degree.
Well, those of us that take it seriously, we have a propensity for wanting to do the right thing, and so you put that in the hopper with some of these other intrinsic behaviors, you're destined for trouble.
Do you think there's a possibility for there to be a corporate illness?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you got to read the book, An Anxious Kind of Mind, New Places, New Faces.
Yeah, again, just traveling around. I ended up in Puerto Rico and Florida and this place and that place. Ended up in a park in Miami Beach, Florida during a political convention. A lot of interesting experiences, all part of the wandering years, as I call them.
Yeah, so you have that all. So arresting events then probably is a pretty interesting chapter.
It's pretty interesting to be arrested, yes.
That would create a lot of anxiety.
Right. About the time you feel handcuffs go around your wrist, you realize, okay, this is what it feels like to be trapped with no way out.
Get claustrophobic.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so short bus homies.
Oddly enough, growing up, I always had a fear of that mental handicaps might be some kind of contagion. Mm. You know, if I hung around mentally handicapped individuals, would I become like them? And God must have this kind of sense of humor or something, because I was offered a job driving a school bus for mentally handicapped kids. And of all the jobs in the universe, you know, maybe God said, hey, you need a little therapy. I don't know. Oh, I got it. I ended up loving those kids. And actually, some of them were young adults. But that chapter, if I may say so, that chapter alone is worth the cost of the book.
Yes. Okay, how about Muhammad Ali's Wife and the Mattress?
Yeah, that's not as sordid as it sounds, but
good.
When I was in graduate school, I worked at a furniture store where in the community where Muhammad Ali lived, and his wife came into the store frequently, and I got to know her. Name is Lonnie. Got to know her just a little bit, and went over to their home a few times, and it was, I won't give it away, but the story revolves around me selling Lonnie a mattress and how the sale almost fell through because of my overly sensitive conscience. I'll leave it at that.
Mm, yes. Well, how about, I know we're not going to get to every single chapter, so maybe you could just give us a kind of a cliffhanger for the last chapter. And
I will. The second to the last chapter is probably the one that contains a lot of my experience when I really, what I consider to be turned the corner. And I had been given a prescription by this time for medication. But because I didn't want to put chemicals into my body and who knows whatever else, I had not filled that prescription. Some friends were putting pressure on me. I had confided my situation in a few people, and they were putting pressure on me. Would you just take that medication? You know, it could change your life. For some reason, I just kept resisting. One evening, I went into a church service. I had during that time, there was a series taking place. It was a satellite series, and the preacher, I'm telling you, this is a true story. I sat down in the back of that sanctuary. There weren't very many people there. And the presentation, which was on the gospel, began to wind down. Well, actually, this preacher was winding up. And he began to talk about, he had an illustration that he used in speaking of the gospel. And here's just a little bit of what he said. He said, "Friends, there was a very sick man, and that sick man had been given a prescription. He had actually gotten that prescription filled, and it was sitting by his bed." A preacher began to ramp things up here at this point. He said, "All that sick man needed to do was reach over, touch that bottle of medication, and take it. And what a difference it would make in his life." Well, of course, I'm looking around to see if anybody else is hearing what I'm hearing from this speaker up there. This guy is 600 miles away, and I'm watching him on a big screen in the church.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, that guy's talking to me. Well, suffice it to say, it made an impact. And if you want to see what really happened after that took place, you'll want to pick up the book, An Anxious Kind of Mind.
Yes.
Because it was a watershed moment.
Yes. And I just appreciate you being vulnerable to share this experience with the whole world, An Anxious Kind of Mind. And I'm talking with Randy Fischel. We've gone through just not even the tip of the iceberg here, but thank you so much for spending this time with me.
Well, you are so welcome. It took me many years to get to this point, to be able to share this story. I'm absolutely determined to let it be seen, and hopefully we can get out of this.
We have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.